Passion, drive, and patience. The formula of winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything for you to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has it covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices that you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP it needs to be and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Again, ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Support for the Bubba Army Podcast is brought to you. My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get when you're talking through Mint Mobile. I mean, I can't believe that I've been living some other life with all this scratchy mobile when I can get crystal clear and the best mobile through Mint Mobile. And I can do it all for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. I can afford this. How much have I been paying on my other plan? Probably getting gouged. But it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plan. I mean, I'm talking jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Say goodbye to all that nonsense. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with a premium wireless plan starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited-time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. You by our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming. Their fourth generation performance package absolutely changed the grooming game, along with their refined body wash to round out your hygiene routine. Join the nearly 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped for their shower time routine by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code Bubba. Have you smelled Manscaped's refined body wash, fellas? The ladies love their signature scent. You and your boys will be so fresh and so clean when you start off your self-care routine with the ultimate body wash. Keep the grooming game going with the Performance Package 4.0, and inside this package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker and nose trimmer, crop preserver and ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all the goodies. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up the top of your nose and ears. Nothing's worse than that nose hair. Again, get 20% off and free shipping with code Bubba at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code Bubba at manscaped.com. Keep your balls trimmed, fresh, and clean with Manscaped.
All right, we pretty much covered that during the main show. Hello and welcome to, what is this show called? Off the Rails. I was like, it's not Flapping Gaps. I'm here with my spouse, Blitz. Blitz K, as you know him on the show. Hi. I've been... You're on?
I know I am. I'm
oh, okay.
We're having an issue with Facebook.
I've been trying to make it... Oh, yeah, we're not on Twitch. My bad. We are on Facebook and YouTube. I got it now. I've been trying to make a distinction between Chris and Blitz in my life. And it still feels weird. I know that they're the same person, but I'm trying to make a distinction in my life. And I think that you like it when I call you Chris.
I do.
I think you like that. I know you're working on the stuff, so I'll just ramble on. It is weird now when I try to force myself into, conversation, not force myself into, but when I'm talking about you, I have to force myself to say Chris instead of
right.
Blitz. Which is weird for me because Blitz just comes out, but I feel like I'm not dating Blitz. I'm dating Chris because you are, beyond your persona
correct.
On the air.
And I agree.
Now, I was stupid and started off just using my real name, which you shouldn't do. So I'm just on and off the air, obviously. But I do like trying to make that distinction. You seem kind of like a real person.
All right, we should be on Facebook now. Yay.
Hopefully it's working. It's funny because I know someone who dated a radio personality that also had like a stage name.
Correct.
It rhymes with Mamish.
Oh.
And she would always call him by his real name.
Right.
Which was Anthony.
Oh, we're not going to kayfabe that one?
Yeah, I don't care. And I was always like, who's Anthony?
Sure.
And now I get why she did that.
That's okay. Sometimes you say Chris, and I'm like, who's Chris?
Yeah, exactly. Who the fuck is that? I don't know. But I've been trying to make that distinction in my life. And the people that know you, the few friends that do know you, you know, sometimes I'll even put Chris in quotes. They're right. Like, why are you doing that? Yeah. I was like, I don't know, because I call him Blitz and everybody else calls him Blitz, but you're only known as Blitz on this show in your other life, and when your firework community and your camping community and your gun, whatever, air show community, you're just Chris. And when you introduce yourself to people, you say your name is Chris.
And it's kind of hard sometimes because, like, even privately here, like, everyone calls me Blitz, always has, like, off the air, like, everyone Bubba related, it's Blitz. Like, a lot of them don't even know my real name.
I remember asking you what your real name was probably about 4 months after I met you. I was like, what the fuck is your name? And you're like, my name's Chris. And I'm like, oh, hey, I'm Anna. And then just continue to call you Blitz.
Right.
Obviously.
Which is fine because, like, literally everyone calls me Blitz. Uh-huh. You know, that's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
But so, like, a few months ago or so, don't want to do that. Kevin Hazlett started calling me Chris. Now, he'd always called me Blitz, but, like...
Yeah, okay. I did notice that.
He, like, made the switch on his own, like, all of a sudden just start calling me Chris, which is fine, but it's, like, kind of odd in a way.
Yeah, and he would call you Chris sometimes to me, and I'd be like, who is Chris?
And so, yeah, and sometimes,
obviously,
like,
joking, but...
I'll, like, go to introduce myself to somebody, and I have to think, okay, like, how do I know them? Is it from the show? Because if I say, hey, it's Chris, they will be like, who?
Right. So you gotta go Blitz, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to talk about our weekend plans and stuff, but, like, who fucking cares? I kind of want to talk about the debate that we were having out in the in the green room area.
Right.
We were having a debate about, well, let me preface it up before jump, because I like to soften it. I like to kind of swim in nicely, smoothly.
Right, sure. Tell people how you're wrong. That's cool.
Sure, but let me just set it up at least.
Yeah.
So we're talking about, you know, people in our orbit, people I know, maybe people I know. He knows, about just the kind of free love that people share with one another. I feel like am in the minority in the fact that I am petrified of contracting a sexually transmitted disease.
Okay.
Known as an STD or maybe an STI by the people listening. I am freaked out. Now, a lot of people aren't because they've had them before. Many of them are easily...
Who hasn't had AIDS a few times?
Right. They're easily taken care of and treated with sometimes as little as one fucking pill. I get that.
Most of them, yes.
Yeah, like the common one, the gonorrheas and the chlamydia, which pretty much everyone has had at some point. Can be easily treated. Not everybody.
I know what you mean.
Lots of people. It's one of those things that, you know, people don't really come out about. But you talk to people like, yeah, I had the clap or I had this or whatever. Fine, no problem. AIDS is one of those things that used to be a death sentence. It's not anymore, and it seems to be like it's really not that common especially when it comes to people who are having heterosexual sex.
Correct.
That doesn't mean I'm not scared I won't contract it, obviously, in terms of just randos. I've never been the type of person to just assume someone's health status by looking at them, unless it's, forget about, by health status, I mean sexual health status.
Right.
Obviously, I can maybe tell if someone has
they have open sores everywhere.
Right, or they're a little bram, 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 or whatever the case may be. Right. I can look at you and go, oh, I see the lice on your head, that you don't look like a healthy person.
Right.
But other than that, I'm very much aware and have been aware my entire life that you can look completely healthy on the outside but be harboring insanely infectious diseases on the inside. That is something that it was apparent to me at a very young age, because mm-hmm. I've always been neurotic and afraid for the longest time. But many people that I know, that you know, that probably you listening know, just do not seem to be concerned about contracting any sexually transmitted diseases. Now, you may think that, like, if you ask people, are you concerned about it? Like, usually it may go through their head. But where we differed in terms of the argument, the discussion, rather, that we were having, is that I said that even if they were concerned about contracting an STD, and by they, I just mean people in general, we'll say Americans, because that's kind of the sample we got.
U.S. Americans such as?
Such as South Africa. Thank you. I would say that even if it is a concern, it really doesn't impede or change anybody's behavior. Ergo, it doesn't matter that they were concerned about it, and it doesn't stop them from having the sex that they want to have. You were making the point with, and again, this was more of a thought discussion, because we didn't really have any data to draw from.
No, we were just BSing is what we were doing.
You made the claim that if sexually transmitted diseases were not a thing,
If there were none,
if we knew that you couldn't get AIDS, you couldn't get anything, that people would be a lot more rampant in terms of their promiscuity.
They absolutely would, without question.
I made the argument that I don't think that that is the case, because nowhere, I mean, again, the data that I'm drawing from is completely anecdotal.
Yeah, well, mine too.
And personal, but mostly anecdotal, because I, you know, haven't been out there that much. But it seems to be that the concern for an STD, like you said, unless there are literally open sores and I can see your genital warts,
right,
if that's not the case and it's concealed, meaning I can't see, you know, your health status, that has not really impacted anybody's decision to not have sex that I know. They may think, maybe not a great idea, but if they wanted to have sex going in, they're having the sex. I would say even more so for men than for women. Guys don't care. Guys, again, in my experience of like male friends that have said stuff, and with other women that I talk about, the guys they're fucking, I don't think that anybody has ever told me, and I know it happens, but you know, not in my orbit, that a guy has said, hey, when was the last time you were tested? Or do you want to get tested? Or should we wear a condom? Like, those sorts of things that men just don't say. And that concerns me a little bit, that they are so dismissive about their own health. Like, pussy is that important that they don't care if they maybe get, like, herpes or chlamydia. And maybe they just think that the things that are the most rampant and contagious are the things that are the easiest to treat, and maybe that is the case. And with herpes, not usually, but and like you said, unless you got open sores or something, you're probably okay. You can still get herpes, obviously,
mm-hmm.
but unless you don't have an outbreak, I think it's a much less likely.
Well, I just think that is a limiting factor on people not wanting to do that. Is that, but also like you wouldn't be brainwashed from the time you were a kid, you know, younger kid in school, you know, middle schoolish, that the first time you have sex, you're gonna catch an STD and your wiener's gonna fall off.
Yeah, but upon, you know, the first or second time that you have sex and nothing happens and you're fine, it seems to be the fact that you just don't care. I mean, the DARE program was, I'm sure you went through it as a kid because you're around my age. I went through it as a kid. It was a program that everybody went through. I mean, it was like a billion-dollar enterprise trying to educate kids about drugs. Guess what? Everyone fucking, like, does drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Marijuana, whatever. It doesn't matter. Everything from marijuana to crack to heroin to pills. Everyone's doing everything. That didn't stop anybody from doing it. My thing that I was saying is that I don't think that STDs or the risk of getting STDs, and I'm not going to say no one, because you can't say any always or never, but I would say is not very much, is not high on the limiting factor of things that are preventing you from having sex. If you're a man and you are attracted to a woman, maybe it goes through your mind, but you really don't care, especially in the moment. It's not stopping you. I would think that the only time it would stop you, or it wouldn't even stop you, if you don't want to have sex with someone, it's not because you think they have an STD. It's because you think they're gross or they're ugly or they're poor or something like that. So feel free to weigh in, 81390Bubba, but I don't think that the STDs being in the ether is a limiting factor at all for anybody who is having sex, or at least people are not acting that way. Well, what do you think about this? This is one of those things that people give themselves a pat on the back for. Like, they'll ask, they'll say, when was the last time you were tested? Now, the person who's getting asked could easily just fucking lie and say, oh, yeah, I'm clean. I got tested 2 months ago. Okay, but how many people did you fuck in those 2 months? I don't know. But people in my orbit seem to not think that this is, like, an issue at all. And something that doesn't stop them or impede them, and that sometimes, like, shocks me. But not everyone is as neurotic about contracting STDs as I am. I'm very, very afraid of them. Very afraid. Because I feel like, I can't relax enough to have a good time unless I know that everybody is clean and safe, because the last thing that I want to be doing, especially someone who doesn't have health insurance, is fucking around with my health unnecessarily. That scares me. That scares me a lot. Let's take this call. Hello, who's this?
Hey, guys, Florida Stanley.
What's up, Florida Stanley?
Hey, so, okay, STD talk. There is a law that protects people from spreading STDs. So if you're about to have sex with somebody, mm-hmm. and I don't know if this is federal or if state. It's specific per state, but I know in Florida and Ohio this is true. Okay. If you're about to have sex with somebody and you ask them if they're clean, and they say yes, and they know they're not, and you get something from them, you can charge them with sexual assault or sexual battery. I forget which one it is.
I'm thank God no one breaks laws.
Well, but, okay, I would say so often, that doesn't stop you from getting an STD. However, it does. It allows you to at least charge them with basically the same charges.
But I don't think that's. I think that's a pretty unusual case. I think most of the people that have STDs and are spreading them don't even know they have them.
Correct.
So if you ask them, they go, yeah, I'm clean. It doesn't hurt when I pee and I don't mm-hmm. have any warts. I'm clean. But they are not. It's just either hasn't manifested, or maybe it only manifests in women, like certain, you know, HPVs and stuff like that. So there's a lot of things that they don't even know that they have. I honestly don't think people are, I don't want to say no one. I would say most people aren't that malicious. Or if they're in pain, they're probably getting it taken care of. But I would say that most people just don't even know they have it.
Right. Yeah. Because I mean, the last time I went to the doctor was just for a physical for my racing license, but they didn't do any blood work or anything. They just, just a basic physical, cough, and do you drink, and you know, do you do drugs, whatever. Mm-hmm. But they didn't do any blood work or anything or test me for STDs.
Yeah.
The last time I went to the doctor before that, I was 14 years old when I broke my arm. Is that, you know, people our age don't just go to the doctor to get checkups.
Yeah, I've been pretty bad about that myself, especially as someone who doesn't have health insurance currently. But I felt like last year, for some reason, I was like, I need to go to the gyno, because I feel like that is a common cancer. People are getting ovarian and the cysts and the things. I didn't have any problems whatsoever, but I was just, it'll get in my head. I don't know if other people are like this. If something gets in your head and you're like, I got to do this, then it haunts you until you get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you can confirm this with Dr. Dan. I think up until you're 50, you don't really need to go to the doctor, but you should every 2 or 3 years just to have everything looked at.
I think
until you're 50, and then you go every year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even want to draw a hard line in the sand in terms of what age. I mean, it's just always a good idea to get things checked out, including
every
your brain,
years, yeah.
You know, including going to maybe a psychologist every now and again, just to get a checkup, just to get a tune-up, make sure that you know, you're on the right path and you're not doing anything dangerous or forming any habits.
I'm starting to go. I'm I'm just recently starting to go to a psychologist. I just broke up with my ex, who's I think she's the crazy one, and maybe it's me that's crazy. Yeah. I don't know. I got to figure it out.
How long were you guys together for?
A little over 2 years.
Okay. And what prompted you to go to the psychologist? You felt, was it just like a hard breakup, or you just felt like you wanted to make sure you weren't going to do anything dumb?
He's got syphilis.
No, we both think each other's crazy. So okay. I just want to make sure that it's not me. Because, I mean, you can think somebody's crazy, but they're not. And, you know.
Yeah, well.
Or you can think that they're not crazy and they are.
I'm thinking it's probably not you if you have enough insight to go, maybe it's me. If that makes sense. Like, if you have enough insight to go, it could be me.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Or it could just be that you're not compatible. Or is that just not even.
No, that was definitely part of it. Okay. That was definitely part of it. But yeah, we both think each other's crazy, and I want to make sure that it's not me.
Okay. And are you guys completely broken up, or is it one of those things where you're still dabbling?
No. We're completely broken up. But it was like a clean, like, we're like,
that's how you
we're
do
still
it.
Remaining friends. Like,
oh,
it's not,
no,
like,
that's not the move at all. What do you mean remaining friends? Do you have like a dog?
Well, not like hanging out, but like we're not mad at each other.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I feel like there's no in between. Like, I'm not, wouldn't be hanging out with my exes, you know, or even really consider them friends or anything like that. But especially
breakup. I guess there's like a line there, but yeah, no, we're not like hanging out, but it's mm-hmm. not like we're pissed.
Okay.
That's
good.
The best way to put it.
That's good. I feel like you were, you know, maybe two just mature adults that just didn't see eye to eye, and it's just, you're not compatible, and that's okay. No one has to be the demon. No one has to be the devil.
Right.
There you go.
Well, I'll see you guys in a couple weeks at 199.
All right.
See ya.
Oh, Blitz. What email do I email to get a hold of Lummy?
Just email show @, and I'll forward it to him, and then he'll get back to you.
Is it BTO? Is show @, and then
show @ thebubbaarmy.com.
The Bubba Army. Okay, yep. I'll do it right now.
And I'll forward it to him.
All right.
Bye, Florida Stanley.
Bye.
Bye. Unfortunately, you will not be seeing me at the next Bubba 199, and then Bubba knows about this, and.
Does he?
Well, he's been told.
We've told him a few times.
He's been told. Doesn't mean he knows. That's a good point.
Right.
That's a good distinction.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been told. I don't know if he knows. I feel really bad because I know that the 23rd is his birthday. I have not forgotten that because I don't forget anybody's birthday ever that ever existed. If you tell me your birthday, I'm going to wake up that morning and remember it and freak people out. I mean, I was even talking to my roommate yesterday, and she was telling me about something, and I'm like, oh, is that the person that you had I swear to God, I said, was that it was like you guys had salmon, and it was like encrusted in something. She's like, what in the fuck?
Yeah.
I was like, I just remember you telling me that you had a dinner with someone like a year and a half ago, and he made you salmon, and it was really good, and it was encrusted in some sort of breadcrumb. And she's like, that's disgusting that you remember that. I go, I don't know. It's just how it helps me. I can remember where I was, what you were wearing. You know, it just helps me solidify memories in my brain. And I'll remember random shit like that. But anyways, unfortunately and fortunately, because it's a happy, joyous occasion, I'm going to a wedding in about two and a half weeks.
Nice.
Yes, a good friend of mine is getting married. It's very exciting. They're doing, I don't know if this is like a popular thing, but it's like a two-headed wedding. They have their first celebration. And that's what I realized. You know, kind of like with BARP, it used to be just BARP. Then it was Bubba 199 and the Brandon thing and BARP and all that. So it's a whole weekend thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes people do that with their weddings. You know, you do a rehearsal dinner maybe, but this is like there's no rehearsal dinner. Mm-hmm. It's just literally party number one, party number two.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. So party number one is on that Friday. So I will be attending that party. And it's funny because I'm going to go both nights, but I'm bringing two different dates.
Mm-hmm.
First date, I'm going with one of my good girlfriends.
Yes.
We're going to go together. And I was initially thinking about just going solo because I'm like, I'm going to know people there. I'll be fine. But then I realized I'm going to know like two people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably not the move to just rely on
knowing
two people. Sure. Right. And maybe they come fashionably late. than I'm the asshole that's just there by myself by the food cart, court. Ooh. What is it? The food truck.
Yeah,
whatever
it
is.
Depends on what it is.
Yes, I think it's a food truck. I think it will be Mediterranean the first night. Oh, and I believe pizza the second. Yes, tacos are out. Taco guy fucked up. Oh. So now we're having kebabs.
I want Mediterranean.
Yeah, I think.
Is it halal?
I think it's probably halal. I think it's definitely going to be kosher because the groom, I found out last name, I think is a berg of some sort.
Okay, iceberg?
Yeah, not iceberg.
Oh.
Maybe like a gold.
Oh.
Or a rose. Something like that. It's
gold,
very
rose,
dewy.
But not ice.
Not ice. Not ice. Maybe gold. Maybe a wine.
Okay.
But it's
some
definitely
steens,
a berg.
Maybe.
There's no steens in this name, but definitely a berg or
okay,
two.
Okay.
So I'm excited. I'm going to see a good friend from college that I haven't seen in a long time. And actually, I was telling Reagan about this yesterday, about this special friend. We'll call her Karen for namesake. And I was talking about Karen, and I was concerned that Karen may be an alcoholic.
Oh.
Which is a disease that some people have that you actually can't have in your 20s because that's just what you're supposed to do.
Sure.
And everyone has this disease, I guess, by definition in their 20s. But then what you think happens is you think people grow out of it.
They get cured.
Yes. They get cured by time and age.
Yes.
Right. So I used to drink like a fucking psycho when I was in college, but that's what you were supposed to do. You were supposed to drink yourself into oblivion until you couldn't feel anything, couldn't remember anything, but you just know you had a good time. Like, you always just knew. It was, unless you woke up in a stranger's bed with urine all over yourself, it was usually
AIDS.
You knew that you had a good time, and that was always the goal, obviously. Now, when you're drinking as aggressively as I did and all of my friends did in college, it's very hard to gauge where it may be problematic. Because everyone around you also needs to be in rehab. So you're just like, this is what we're supposed to do. I'm 20, 21 years old. I'm supposed to be, you know, flirting with a blackout 3 to 4 nights a week. That's just what we do. That's how we fucking do.
Yeah.
Now, gross. It's been 13 years now removed from college. I graduated in 2009. And you think that now, you know, you have wine now and maybe a glass or two. On a crazy night, maybe three throughout, like, you know, 6 or 7 hours, of course.
Depends on who's pouring.
Yeah, Krista Diaco. But I remember seeing this friend a couple of years ago, and it was like, it was 08, baby, in Isla Vista. Go Gauchos. And I was a little bit concerned because I saw my friend and it seemed like she hadn't progressed. If anything, it seemed like she was drinking more than she did in college because she was of legal age.
Okay.
Which is odd because usually once you hit 21, it's not as fun.
Yep.
And I've made this same argument with weed. Smoking weed now is a lot less fun than it used to be because it was a lot more taboo when I was 17 than it is now.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, now you see like lots of boomers smoking weed and not boomers like hippie boomers. You know, I mean, people that are Republicans and conservatives and they're smoking weed and you're going, wow.
Yeah, this used to be fun.
You know what it's like? It's like Facebook. When I was in college in 05 and I had Facebook, I was like, this is a college thing. We're cool. Mm-hmm. Now that my Auntie Barbara, who's 75, has Facebook, it's not cool anymore.
It's so funny how that happened.
You know?
Well, so like the guys right here, like it always like kind of clown me in a way because especially internet related stuff, like I was always getting in when it was early, and then like when it got big, I was like, okay, this sucks, I'm out. And they're like, oh yeah, it's popular now, you don't like it. I'm like, well, that's what happens. Like, it was cool, but
it's
it wasn't
not punk
popular.
Rock anymore.
Yeah,
when it was just for college kids, I was like, this is awesome. I remember getting very annoyed when my sister at the time, she's still my sister, but at the time she was in high school, and she got a Facebook. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, you need a .edu. What are you talking? Like, it was only for college
kids.
Correct.
You had to have a college email to sign up.
Yes, correct. And then all of a sudden, I see 16 and 17-year-olds signing up. I'm like, this is fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Because they're polluting the pool because now all the guys that wanted to fuck me are going to want to fuck you because they're sickos.
Right.
So, and then I think like our parents started getting it. And I'm like, I gotta bail. This is fucking disgusting.
I can't. I remember back in the days, a friend of mine was the number one most followed person on Twitter.
Really?
He had 5,000 followers, and he was the number one guy.
Look at that. And now Facebook isn't cool at all.
Until Obama overtook him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But is he a famous celeb or?
He does radio for. He's a computer guy.
Okay.
Leo Laporte.
So, yeah, my friend will be in attendance, and the last time I saw her was about 3 years ago, and it was eye-opening and alarming all in one, because I was assuming, you know, much like we shouldn't all do, we all shouldn't assume, but I was assuming that she has progressed much like I have progressed, in the sense that I drink, it's not like I don't drink, but not in excess and not at the frequency at which I used to drink. You know, I don't like being as drunk as I used to get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what used to be just kind of a standard drunk night is like, I don't want to be that out of control anymore. It doesn't feel good to feel like you don't have control of your limbs and your body, you know. So, but she continued on, and it seems like, and this is, again, not that I would be the most phenomenal parent or anything like that, but you pick up things along the way of, like, what, how not to parent.
Sure.
And her parents, like, she comes from a two-parent home, and both of her parents were, like, I would say middle or upper middle class. Like, she comes from, like, a good home. But what her parents neglected to do was put her in any hobbies. No sports.
What?
No after-school curricular activities. Nothing. And I'm trying to talk to my friend. I'm like, Karen, that's her name. Karen, you know, you had band. Nope. You did dance. Nope. You did soccer as a kid. Nope.
What?
Like, drama, choir. Nope, nope, nope. She didn't even, when we went to college, she didn't know how to ride a bike. Her dad or mom never showed her how to ride a bike.
How the hell?
So she would walk everywhere. And I'd be like, Karen, do you want me to show you how to ride a bike? That's how uninvolved her parents were. So it was like this weird thing where she came from a good home, because by good home now, it's just like, did anyone molest you when you were a kid?
Right.
She's like, no. I'm like, you had a great home.
Yeah.
Did your dad hit your mom in the face and put her head through the garage door? No. Great home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did your parents give you, you know, something that was borderline nutritious and not fucking donuts, pastries, and hamburgers every day? Yeah, yeah. Great. You came from a great home.
Of course.
But this was a different sort of neglect where her parents just kind of had this, like, hands-off policy, which was kind of weird. She just, like, no one really kept an eye on her. No one put her in sports. No one put her in any sort of extracurriculars. And I remember when I met her, I'm like, so, like, what are your hobbies? And she, like, didn't have any. Again, didn't even know how to, like, ride a bike. So I thought that was just very bizarre. So then when she developed into an adult, all of her extracurricular activities revolved around drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a skill that we learned in college is, oh, like, how do you make friends over the keg?
That was the skill she learned.
Right. It's like you knew how to interact around a keg. You knew how to interact when there were drinks. You knew how to interact at a bar. Like, that was what you learned. So those were all the things that she had in her back pocket. So every activity she got involved in later, I learned, you know, like 10 years later, was like beer club, wine club, kickball. And, you know, you just get fucked up when you play kickball, and you know, so everything. So I remember asking her, I'm like, Karen, this was again 3 years ago when I saw her, you know, how often do you drink? Well, you know, and I asked not in that tone, you know, I'm like, I'm like, so, cause she was mentioning everything she was doing. I'm like, how often do you drink? She goes, every single night. I'm like, oh, like a glass or like a beer. And I remember asking her friend who was there as well. I go, is she just on holiday and that's why she's getting crazy, or is this like her MO? Because I don't live with her anymore. I used to be her roommate, like her actual roommate in the same room in college. And she goes, nope, this is her MO. And I'm like, well, this is unhealthy. You know, this is really, really bad. So she'll be in attendance at the wedding. So that'll be cool. I'm getting to meet her new beau.
Nice.
She has historically a horrible track record with men, just like fucking her over, not hitting her and stuff like that, but pretty much like everything else. I think a lot of infidelity, a lot of, you know, I got someone else pregnant. Like, I fell in love with a coworker. Like, just shit like that that just keeps happening over and over and over again. But every time I, like, open my eyes, she's got a new guy.
Okay.
So I will get to meet this new guy. She's now mentioned several times that I get to meet this new guy. And I go, yeah, you said that. All right. She's like, I'm so excited for you to meet
so-and-so.
Brian, yeah. Whatever. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, I've kind of asked her about it. And then I kind of mentioned you because she didn't know I was dating anybody. Okay. And there was like no follow-up questions.
That was just moved right on?
Yeah.
Nice.
Which, I don't know. I don't want to say I get offended, but I just go, oh, okay. Like, I get it. Like, this is about you. It's mm-hmm. okay. And which is fine, because here's the thing is, like, I don't like telling people shit that they're not interested in. Like, sure. I'm not going to shove information. If you don't want to know or you're not interested in, like, who I'm dating, I don't need to tell anybody about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I only want people who want to inquire. Oh, tell me about the guy and whatever. So, yeah, I casually mentioned that. And she knows my history. She knows that I don't really date. Like, I've had very few boyfriends in my life, and I've dated very few people. So the fact that she was completely uninterested in the fact that I'm dating someone was a little bit shocking. But that's okay. Hey, that's okay. It doesn't need to be about me always. I get it. Enough already. 813-90-BUBBA. So it should be a nice little college reunion. Do you feel, and I know you didn't go to college, which, by the way, like, I think college is a crock of shit for the most part. Yeah. Sometimes it's necessary to get where you need to go.
Paper is necessary, but nothing else is.
Right. Well, I mean, sometimes if you need to go to, like, medical school, well, you should probably get your BA, whatever, you get it. Do you feel like you wish you would have gone to college for one reason or another? Do you think that you would be considered, maybe, again, I'm not saying this, but maybe more legitimate by society if you had, like, an engineering degree, even though yeah. we both know you have, you know, way more than most of those people?
Yeah, because it'd be easier to get, like, a higher-paying corporate gig.
Okay.
Because most of those require...
at least a...
yeah.
bachelor's.
Sometimes though, it's weird. Sometimes it's like that or like X amount of years of experience, which I have now, but back then I didn't.
Can I make a call on the future? I just had like a premonition, like sure. I was a prophet. You know how we're getting constantly more and more woke with words and semantics, and this word is offensive and that word is offensive. I have a feeling that bachelor's degree, master's degree, I don't know about PhD. That seems to be okay. But like, bachelor's is sexist.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bachelorette degree.
Nobody wants that.
It's a bachelor's degree. And master seems like there might be some racial undertones. So I wouldn't be surprised. I'm making a prediction for the future. Again, I don't give a fuck about this shit. But I'm saying I have a feeling that that may come up soon in the future. That they will start changing, you know, bachelor's degree to like, I don't know, primary graduate degree, something that's a bit more less gender specific, maybe. I don't know, just a premonition I had. Sorry, go back to what you were saying. So do you probably would have obviously been in the hole a lot more in terms of, you know, debt or loans owed in terms of things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but I would have made a lot more money earlier on.
Right,
so
right.
That wouldn't have been an issue.
Right. So what about like the college experience? Because that's something like for me, I didn't need to go to college to work here. Sorry. It's the truth. But I'm glad I went because it was a good experience. Was it 82 grand of a good experience? I don't know. That's up for debate. But it happened. I did it. I'm glad I did it. I had a great fucking time. So I don't regret it in that sense. But that was like those were formative years between the ages of 18 and 22. And I don't want to say that's when I really matured and grew up because that's ridiculous because I was an adult infant that could consume tons of alcohol. That's what happened is I did shrooms and I experimented with some drugs and I drank a lot, a shit ton. But it's some of the best memories of my life in the sense of I was young enough to not give a fuck but old enough to be able to act like an adult in the sense that I was independent. not mm-hmm. financially, but I wasn't living at home and I could just do whatever I wanted to do and nobody could tell me otherwise. So some of the best times of my life, no doubt, but I wouldn't want to relive those times now because it would just seem wildly inappropriate. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that it happened when it happened. Do you feel like maybe you missed out on the college experience in that mm-hmm. sense, or is that
not really?
Okay. Okay. Yeah, it's certainly not for everybody. I get that. I'm glad that I had it, but again, it's one of the it's weird to miss something but also not want it back.
Right.
That's a constant feeling I have when like things pop up, like if I'm on Facebook or someone sends me a picture of, you know, old times, I'm like, "Holy shit, like we were so young. That was so fun. What a great time, but I never ever want to relive that."
Yeah, I mean, up until recently, I was going to UT and I might as well have been a student.
Pretty much. I mean, yeah, he had a gym membership, a shirt.
Yeah.
Goes to all the games. You know, he loves UT so much, he'll just sit in traffic just so he can fucking see more of the girls walking up and down the streets of that mm-hmm. school. I'm like, "Hey, buddy, he's taken me there." And I'm like, "Do we have to sit in this traffic?" And he's like, "Yes." I'm like, "But why?" He goes, "Because it's a UT." I'm like, "But we could have been yeah.
and you're like,
at
hey.
Taco Dirty 15 minutes ago."
And you're like, "Hey, why are you stopping the car?" I said, "Because see that girl? It's way up there. She's going to come down here and want to cross on this crosswalk. So I'm going to have to wait. It says stop for pedestrians."
Right, right. So he turns the car off. I'm like, "That seems unnecessary," but
said, look,
okay.
Look, it shouldn't take more than 15 minutes for her to get to the crosswalk and cross. It does say you must stop for all crosswalks, and I don't want to get a ticket.
He's a safe driver.
Yeah.
Hello, who's this?
Hey guys, it's Track Meet.
What's up, Track Meet?
Not much. I was going to touch on your subject. Well, first one is the college thing. Never went, dropped out at 16 and been working since. And mm-hmm. I don't regret it because I went to all the parties and stuff with my buddies who were in college because they mostly went to like the local USS and UCF.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I didn't have a problem there. And you are not the only weird one to require STD tests. And it's not weird, I guess, because I was picky too. But my wife, we were together 2 years, split up for 6 months, and then got back together. Been together 12 years now, I think. Anyway,
whoa.
So she required one after we split up for 6 months because she found out about some of the Mountain Dew drinking, cigarette smoking women I'd been with.
That's
she
fair.
Yeah. I agree with her because they were pretty dirty.
Yeah. And did it ever cross your mind to not have sex with them because they may have an STD, or that was not a limiting factor whatsoever?
I'll be honest, I asked every one of them if they had something, whether they lied to me or not, whatever.
If there were no such thing as STDs, would you have banged more women indiscriminately?
Put it this way, I would never cheat on my wife if the way things are now.
Oh, that's a different question, but yeah, okay.
No, you get what I'm saying?
Though? Yeah.
No, if there was no STDs, yeah, I'd be running rampant through the village.
Of course, everybody would.
Now?
It'd be a game changer.
Yeah. Now?
Absolutely.
Yes, it'd be a giant game changer.
Because there's no risk.
Right.
There's no risk. If you're sniffed like Bubba, just ran through it, man.
So, I mean, but
what's going to stop you?
Exactly.
I thought you said you would never cheat on your wife with how things are now. And you said that you would even do it now?
No, I'm saying the way things are now, I would never do that because there's STDs, there's consequences.
Oh, I thought you meant because you were in a relationship.
No, no one cares about that.
Well, no, I have morals. I really would never cheat on my wife, and I never have. Actually, that's why we broke up for those 6 months is because she wanted to see other people. I was like, go see them. You're younger than me by like fucking 4 years. Go see them.
Okay.
So we did our thing, and then she came back.
Oh, she came back. And then,
I really had, yeah.
And then there was no foul play outside of the relationship, right?
No, not outside by neither one of us. I just
right, okay.
We both knew we were trying to like start to maybe go a little away from each other because we were together for 2 years and she was only 18. You know, I mean, I was like,
yeah.
20,
but you're saying if STDs were not a factor, that you would be running rampant right now?
No, I would definitely have a harder time not doing it though.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It would be a lot harder.
But if you were single, like back when you were single, and if there was no STDs at all, you would just be banging like crazy.
Yeah,
he did, though.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I was about to say.
You said you Mountain Dew smoking. You said that in the 6 months.
Dew, they were cigarette smoking Mountain Dew.
Hold on.
Fat girl,
he banged like a couple few of them. But if there were no STDs at all, everyone would just be banging everybody at all times all over the place.
Thank you, guys. Yes, that is correct. I'd be all over the place.
Of course.
Okay.
I'd be like a little jackrabbit, like Colton.
Okay.
Y'all have a good one. I ain't gonna hold you up no more. I'm
Big
at work,
Red so. Said he'd be all slinging right. dick like concrete. That's what he said.
Well, I just I don't want to say that I disagree. Obviously, everybody can do whatever the fuck they want. But if you aren't, if you are going into the situation and it's not stopping you when you're in the situation, well, maybe it's just that you're willing to take the risk with those people, I guess. Maybe you'd be willing to take more risks.
Here's the thing, because it's always in the back of your head. So, like, you're not even, like, in that mindset of, like, hey, I'm just going to indiscriminately bang whoever I want. Once you get so far, like, if you meet someone, you're like, then you're willing to take a chance. Like, that's a little different.
Okay. All right. Maybe. And maybe the women, because I would say that that's probably not a limiting factor in terms of you, like with guys, if you can get the hot chick, then you're gonna fuck her no matter what. The STD situation is not going to get in your head at all. But if she was like less worried about it, does that make sense? Like if she's not worried about it and she's willing to fuck you, then obviously you're willing to fuck her.
Sure.
Okay.
No, I understand that. I understand that's how it is now, but like, you still think about it and like it might slow you down a little bit, and but usually like way before you get to that point.
I just think that if you're attracted to someone, you're attracted to them, and maybe at the last minute you may say, hey, like TrackMe gave himself credit saying, hey, you know, I asked her whether she lied to me or not. At least I can say that I made an effort and you know, asked them, and they could obviously they weren't going to say, yes, I have an STD.
But if that wasn't an issue, like you could, and you're single, like you could go out that night and be like, I'm not really attracted to her, but like, why not?
Like okay.
That would happen a lot.
Okay. All right. I get it. And you're just more willing to take more risk because, well, there are less risks, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. But I mean, I guess there's also the risk of pregnancy still.
Sure.
But that's a different beast.
But then, like, I think if there were no STDs and people were banging more often, then number one, they'd probably have a male fucking birth control pill. But if not, more women would be on birth control. And I know that's not 100% effective, but like, it's pretty good.
Yeah, if you take it right.
Well, of course.
Most women
don't. But knowing they would be banging more often and the only threat is pregnancy, then they definitely would.
Yeah, because then you can just throw yourself down some stairs. You don't have to worry about the things that might be lasting for the rest of your life, like herpes. We're going to take one more call and take a break. Hello, who's this? Hello?
Perfect.
Hey, Anna. Hey, Blitz. Happy for you guys. It's Alan.
Oh, hey, Alan, what's up?
Oh, it's one-way Alan.
I have a question for you, Anna, as a proud Jewish woman.
Yep.
So my wife
Alan
is
talking about himself.
Also in the tribe.
You so are, what did you say? You're also one of the tribe?
His wife, I think he said.
Oh, okay. No, I am not. My wife is.
Okay.
We're at a point of contention. Our boys are 8 and 5. We
should you
are
get
not
them circumcised?
Religious,
okay,
at all.
Yeah,
but it's important to my mother-in-law that these kids go to Sunday school.
Okay,
where are you at on that? Because I think it's ridiculous.
Well, how does your wife feel? Do you both think it's ridiculous?
My wife doesn't really think that they need to do it, but her mom will not let up.
Okay, well, you know, they're your children, and you get to make the final call. Do you think it's ridiculous? Why? Because you think that they're going to get indoctrinated, or do you feel like they just don't even need to know that information? It's a waste of time. I don't intrinsically... Here's the thing. I remember listening to NPR one time, and this woman who is actually on CBS News, she didn't know where she was from. I think she was like adopted or her mom died when she was, I think something like that. It was some weird story where she was like, I think half Asian, like Thai or something. She looked half Thai, half white. Okay. And she had no idea where she was from or what her family history was at all. And it plagued her because she felt like she didn't have a community. Now, I kind of had the privilege of knowing my ancestry, knowing where I'm from, knowing that I'm Jewish, knowing that there were like, you know, Lithuanian and Russian Jews descendants. I had family in, you know, Argentina and Canada and South Africa before they moved to the States, et cetera, Europe, whatever. So here I am kind of in a privileged position. I know where I come from. I know all my background and I chose to leave. Right. So I was in the mix. I was in the Jewish community and I chose to walk away. But I had a sense of self. I kind of had a sense of identity of like my background, where I'm from. When I heard this woman speak and she said that she was plagued by the fact that she didn't know what group she belonged to. She desperately wanted to belong to a community. You know, who are my people? She would hang out with white people and she looked too Asian. She would hang out with the Asian people. She looked too white. So she felt like she didn't belong anywhere. Now, maybe that's kind of the the ticket that I missed is the fact that I knew where I came from, so I didn't care anymore because I already knew that information. Now, if your kids grow up and they don't have a sense of, like, their background, what am I, where am I from, what are my traditions? People like traditions. People like, obviously, culture, things that are nostalgic to them. There are times when, you know, even when, like, Seth was here and he would start reciting a Jewish prayer, it was kind of like this weird nostalgic feeling because I knew it by heart because I had said it so many times from the ages of, like, 4 to 16, mm-hmm. you know? And so there was a sense of, like, nostalgia that came along with it. I obviously don't believe in God. I have no interest in organized religion, systematic religion. I have no interest in that at all. But there is a sense of, like, home, my childhood, in knowing where I came from and the traditions I grew up with. Do your kids have any sense of that? Is there any sort of, like...
Well, they do. I mean, we sent them to the early childhood school at the JCC here. I mean, it wasn't cheap. I mean, we were paying $30,000 a year for the two kids to go there. It was like private school for preschool. So they do Shabbat every Friday. I mean, my older son is obviously in first grade, but my younger son finishes there in May.
So why do they have to go to Sunday school on top of that?
I don't believe in the organized religion part either. So I grew up Catholic, but I don't really practice. But they do Christmas and Hanukkah. We do. They know all the prayers. They know all of that stuff.
So what's the problem? Why? So she wants them to go to Sunday school on top of all of that other shit?
Yeah, well, no, my mother-in-law does.
That's what I'm saying.
They have to go to Sunday school. Your sister's sending her.
But they already went to the JCC. Like, they already are familiar with Jewish traditions and faiths and Christmas, and it sounds like they got a lot in terms of the tradition bag.
Yeah, it's just an internal fight between, I guess, us and my mother-in-law, because she just won't leave my wife alone about it. It's like, how would you handle your mom with that if she was doing that?
I mean, I would probably tell someone to fuck off, but again, I don't know if you should be taking advice from me. It sounds like you need to have a sit down with her face-to-face and be like, listen, these are our children. We're going to do what we want to do. They've already been to the JCC. They know the prayers. They do the things. They do the stuff, whatever. They don't need to go to Sunday school on top of that. You know, you can't be living your life to appease your fucking mother-in-law. That's not how it's supposed to go.
Yeah, the kids' moms are Jewish. They're Jewish.
Right, but I mean...
Yeah, they get you on a technicality, as David Cross said.
Yeah, but I mean, you could be Jewish all you want, but if you're not practicing, you don't know anything about it, it's really not a part of your life or tradition. It really doesn't matter. But it sounds like they have a good understanding of what it means to be Jewish and the traditions and culture that comes along with it. So I don't understand why they have to go to Sunday school in addition to all of the other things that they're doing.
Thank you. That's my argument exactly. But
yeah, but I mean, again, if you can't communicate that to your mother-in-law effectively, then she's just going to keep bothering you. It sounds like your wife, seeing as this is her mother, needs to kind of set that bitch straight. Be like, hey, this is what's going on. I don't want to fucking hear from you anymore because X, Y, and Z. You're going to have to draw some hard lines in the sand. Otherwise, you're having other people run your life. You can't do that. You can't live that way. So, and what's the worst that can happen? You piss your mother-in-law off. So what? You didn't want to see her anyways.
No, they live in Memphis.
They're not even a part of the kids' like daily or weekly life. They can go fuck off is what I would say.
All right. So happy for you guys. You sound generally happy with
Thank
each
you.
Other. So good
generally
to hear.
Or genuinely?
Genuinely.
Generally.
Okay, that's fair. What did you send me?
The launch.
Oh, can we even post this?
Yeah. So post it or have it full screen it on the other's computer.
We're not going to get a copyright.
Pot up the audio, and we'll be good. Three, have, when we go to break, two, we can play that. Computer.
One. Okay, yeah, we'll go to break.
Pot up the audio.
Go Falcons, go Dragons. Three, go speed, Axiom one.
Okay, we'll go to break.
Together, a new chapter begins. Godspeed AX1.
Stage one propulsion is nominal.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
T-plus 38 seconds into this historic mission, flying crew on board Dragon and Falcon 9.
Power engine telemetry nominal. Stage 1 throttle down.
Throttling down in the preparation for max dynamic pressure.
Falcon 9 is supersonic. XQ, stage 1 throttle up.
Merlin 1D engines coming back up to power.
1 Bravo. Copy, 1 Bravo.
The crew calling out 1 Bravo should an escape situation arise and tells the Dragon flight computer what profile to fly using the Super Draco engines. But everything is looking good on Falcon 9. We're getting nominal callouts from all the engineers and a great view from the ground camera and the onboard cameras.
Evac chill underway.
Beginning to chill in the second stage turbo pump in preparation for its ignition coming up in just over half a minute from now. Coming up on about 3.5 G's acceleration for the crew, we'll begin throttling down the Merlin engines to hold that level of acceleration. Next event coming up, we're going to get main engine cutoff
stage
of the main engines.
Down.
Get stage separation and ignition of the second stage engine. You've heard the throttle down call out. We're holding 3.5 G's for the crew.
And Miko.
Successful stage separation ignition of the second stage engine. On the left, the titanium grid fins beginning to slowly deploy. Great views from the first stage camera. The first stage now begins a slow flip maneuver. You can see the white nitrogen gas plumes as we reorient for an entry back through the Earth's atmosphere a little bit later in the plus count. Second stage, we see the engine nozzle glowing red. Everything continuing to look good on the second stage. We should be hearing call-outs coming up to the crew here shortly on how the trajectory is looking.
trajectory nominal.
It's what we like to hear.
Acquisition of signal, Bermuda.
And AOS Bermuda, acquisition of signal. The Bermuda tracking station now getting telemetry from the second stage of the Falcon 9 with the Dragon on top. T plus 4 minutes, 10 seconds. Everything continues to be nominal. First stage coasting to apogee, and then it'll come back down for landing on the drone ship. Second stage partway through its lengthy burn to get the crew into orbit. So, Kate, 4.5 minutes
right.
in, everything continues to look good.
What a absolutely picture-perfect liftoff.
I couldn't see it. I went outside to look. I couldn't.
Got a live view of the crew inside Dragon
Endeavor. It's amazing, these sorts of things, because it's always kind of like a Siegfried and Roy deal where you might be there when the tiger eats the people. You know, like we might be being like, oh, this is so cool. Oh, four people just died in front of our face. So it seems like it's getting less and less likely, obviously, with the technology getting better and better.
I kind of wish I was there.
What do you mean there? Cape Canaveral?
Yeah. I've been to so many launches there. It's so impressive.
Right. I feel like that would be something like cool to see, but I probably won't be going anytime soon. But it's an incredible.
Why like, wouldn't you wouldn't want to see that?
No, I would. But I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't. Like, I would go with you. Like, this would be something that would interest me, but not to the level that it interests you. Obviously, it's to me, it's impressive just like what the human brain can accomplish over such a short amount of time. You know, I think it more from like an anthropological perspective where I'm like, wow, I can't believe like human brains fucking constructed this. Like, that's impressive to me. But yeah, so they're going to the space station, and are they going to meet any cosmonauts when they get there?
Yes.
That should be interesting.
Why is that?
Well, I would just like to see the, you know, how's it going?
I mean, because there's already cosmonauts and astronauts on the space station now together.
I know.
Okay,
but I'm just saying you get four more Americans, and they're like, "Hey, how's it going?"
They're actually going up there with handcuffs. They're going to go arrest the cosmonauts.
It should be interesting because obviously everybody's aware of everything that's going on, but maybe it's kind of like a nice escape where they're like, "Fucking Earthlings, man."
Yeah, and even like during other stuff that have happened between like Russia and the U.S., the cosmonauts and astronauts have always been like friendly to each other. And
mutual respect for
space life. Train together too, so okay. Like they know the people. It's not like they're meeting them for the first time.
And I know that these aren't like government officials and shit like that. Like you don't have I have zero control over what the American government does.
Yeah,
we think we do with our votes, but that's a shame because it's silly because you actually don't. But you know, even less so in Russia, like the people aren't fucking voting. You know, to get Putin out of power, they're not voting on the Ukraine war. Like they're not. They have nothing to do with it. But nevertheless, it's just kind of, you know, funny. It's like when I meet a Palestinian person and I go, oh, like, where are you from? Like, oh, I'm Palestinian. I go, oh, interesting. And then there's like just this moment where we both know that if we start talking about certain things, shit might hit the fan. But we just don't. But then we're just people. But there's like a moment where you just go, oh, really? Nice. Cool. Great. No problem. Let's move on. 813-90 Bubba, I'm like debating on whether to skirt. I probably shouldn't. I will only say this because we're not going to be here much longer. But in terms of on the air, I'm not going to go off myself. But I have trouble sometimes keeping things to myself, and by that I mean secrets. And it's not like I tell everybody I know when I find something out.
No.
But what is it about juicy gossip that is just so tempting to share?
Well, it's not. So here's the thing: is it's not gossip if you don't share it,
right?
It's just info you have, like
right. But it's info about somebody else, and as soon as you share it with one person, it becomes gossip.
Yeah,
no doubt. Even if there's really no like tone or judgment affiliated with it, right? It doesn't have to be negative or positive. It could just be neutral information that you're sharing, but it's like on the DL. That is just so much fun to share because you know what it is? It's because you got a pot of gold and people want a part of it.
Yeah.
People want a little bit of that gold, and you know you got it, and they don't even know you have it until you announce that you got it, and then they want it. And you go, I got some juicy goss. Let's talk. And they go, yeah, I'll be calling you in 5 minutes. But not that I'm not a person who is going to share with the entire world. I'm actually a very private person, especially now that I don't have social media. I feel like a fucking spy. Nobody knows what I've been up to. Nobody knows what I'm doing. And I kind of like it that way. Just taking a break. I don't need to share. I feel like I'm already kind of doing performative stuff, you know, working with Bubba, which is great and I love it, but I don't need to be. And I'll share stuff like on the Instagram, like the show's Instagram. But in terms of like, if I ran, you know, or I'm in, say, downtown St. Pete, like who fucking cares? Like, why am I sharing this? Why do I feel right. The need to share this? And I'm not shitting on anybody that does that. I'm just saying when I started asking myself questions about why do I have the impulse to have an experience for the sake of sharing, that was problematic to me. That was problematic that I was like, oh, I should go on this run downtown so I can share a video. It's like, what the fuck? Just go live your life. Document a little bit for the show and enough. Like, you don't need to fucking break down
I guess that froze.
What?
The video.
Oh, no. Wait. No, I paused it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I paused
it. They're just about to land.
Oh, shit. All right. Well,
so, it's already did too. There,
right? I'm sorry. Sorry, I ruined it. My bad. But yeah, so I feel like my life is a lot more in the moment, which is nice, which is good. But that means that because I have less gossip and things to take from other people's lives, I really rely on, you know, the drama in my inner orbit, whether it be with the show, whether it be with friends or my spouse or whatever the case may be. You kind of rely a little bit more so on that drama to kind of get you through your drama fix. Mm-hmm. And the best is when it doesn't involve you at all, but it's just the right amount of distance away from you. That's the perfect. It's about like, you know, a 3 foot distance away from you where yep. You could touch it, but you also don't have to touch it. It's not sure. Against your shoulder. It's not right next to you, but it's close enough to you. That's the best kind. Because when it's too far removed, the stakes are too low and you don't care, right? When it's like celebrity gossip or like third person removed gossip, it's much less, you're like, okay, I don't care. When it's right next to you, but not touching you, that's the perfect, that's the sweet spot. Because it's just enough for you to get invested, but not so much that, you know, it's fucking with your life. It's just fun to watch.
Sure.
Fun to watch. And gossip is really good for bonding. So anyone...
It definitely is.
Yes. I think I've mentioned this before, but I did my senior thesis on gossip and the evolutionary function of it and why it exists and why it's so attractive to share with people. And it's because it's a good way to bond, because these are secrets that... You know, the person who maybe tells you or whoever you get it from, they do not want this information getting out. And it's a good chance for you and your closest confidants, or maybe mm-hmm. not so close confidants, A, to either trust that this information isn't going to leak. That's a big, you know, sure. vote of confidence there, that it's not going to leak from the person you're telling. And secondly, it's a good way to establish boundaries and... like in-group rules, I guess. Like, we collectively agree that this is not a good idea. We collectively agree that this is a great idea. We collectively agree that this is salacious, or whatever the case may be. You collectively decide that, you know, this person is doing a good thing, a bad thing. You know, we should maybe get closer to this person or maybe distance ourselves from this person. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. One of the things that brought me and my sister together, because we had a bit of an estranged relationship for our entire lives. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that brought us together, because we don't agree on much, folks. We don't agree on places to live, on people to vote for, on vaccines to inject into ourselves. We don't agree on any of that shit. But what we do agree on is a mutual friend losing her fucking mind. And we were able to gossip about a person we both know, and it really fucking bonded us. Talking shit saved me and my sister's relationship. Because we didn't talk for a long time. And then that was one of the first things that we were able to talk about and not fight about, right? Because, you know, the Trump, Biden, this, that, vaccine, no vaccine, COVID, this, mandates, whatever. All that sort of shit we couldn't agree on. But we could agree that our one friend was losing her fucking mind. And we could laugh about that. and we could share stories about that, and we could take part equally with the same mindset and the same takeaway that this person is mentally unwell. And that was fun, and that brought us together. That was step one in our relationship, is talk shit about a mutual friend. And then from there, we were able to build. It was the building blocks of our relationship, which now is much, much better than it was even just 6 months ago. So I thank gossip for that. I thank gossip for a lot of things in my life, a lot of fun that I've had. I mean, some of the best times are like, you know, I remember in college Sunday morning recap where you just talk shit and talk about the night and who did what and who fucked who and who peed in whose bed. Like, that was some of the best moments, was not even just living the college life, but reliving it the next day. It was like leftovers that you forgot that you had. And then everyone would come together in the living room and we'd sit there eating breakfast being like, what the fuck happened last night? And filling in those Swiss cheese holes was some of the best moments I ever had with me and my friends, just laughing our asses off. I mean, it's fun in the moment when you're, you know, drunk, having a silly whatever, someone got, you know, a pissing in public. I think that was like not a sexual, that's like a sexual offense, right? It's like,
sexual offense? No,
right. Isn't it
indecent exposure?
No.
That's about all it would be.
No, like, you're considered a sex offender if you are caught peeing in public.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at least in California, yeah, you were. Florida. If you, so we would have these like laughs about, you know, this fucking weirdo homeschooled guy named Lorenzo, who I remember there was a time when I think it was my fault, actually, where we had a big group of us and many people were walking away and I was like, stop, Lorenzo's peeing, he's peeing right there. And a bunch of cops on bicycles, I think it was me, I'm pretty sure it was my fucking fault.
Good job, brat.
Right, exactly. Get on. They were on bicycles and they just went boop and they gave him a pissing in public charge, whatever, indecent exposure, and he was a sex offender. And it was my fault. And that was funny the next day. You know, I'm like, I can't believe I did that. Obviously, unintentional, was my fault, but I was 18 years old, dumb, it's dark, I'm drunk, I'm trying to wave everybody down. I was actually trying to do a nice thing because I was trying to wait for the guy. I didn't mean to, you know, assist the cops in their, you know, in the charge that they gave him. But whatever, it is what it is.
Ever since then, defund the police.
Defund the police. That's the way to go. I'm all about funding the police until they fuck with traffic.
Yeah.
And they don't switch the lights when they're supposed to. And boy, was I on that BLM train like never before. Defund the fucking police.
At least for a little while.
At least for a little while until they can switch those lights. Because the fact that I was in traffic with you for 3 hours and in 2 of those hours did not move one fucking inch. Defund the police. Defund the police. I'm kidding, of course. All right, guys, we got to get out of here. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday. Bye.